Perfect. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Regular Educational Partners and Development Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of quick reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name if it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so. But if not, you could refrain from stating your name. And that is about it for my announcement. So with that, I'll turn it over to our lovely Ms. Covarrubias. If you may please call the meeting to order. It is 5:04 p.m.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks everybody for being here. I would like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you to our committee members. We've established quorum. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment, you may unmute yourself now.
Good evening, board members. This is Gokhan Sears, Regional Director and Principal in San Diego. I want to quickly share that today we had our multicultural food festival, and we had around 16 countries represented with, I think, over 30 different dishes. And majority of our students participated to the event, and we raised close to $2,000 for our school programs. All of our parents, staff, and students for their participation and efforts to celebrate diversity at our school campus. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for that, Mr. Sears. Is there anyone else that would like to make a public comment? Perfect, if no, we'll move on next to the approval of minutes from the Educational Partners and Development Committee meeting on April 7th, 2022. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano, for moving. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for April 7th, 2022 has been approved. Next, we'll move on to recommended action items, starting with 2A, approval of MPS school site classified employees pay raise schedule for 2022 through 23. This will be presented by Mr. Swat Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer, and Mr. Steve Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Good evening, board members. Jen, you hear me, guys?
Yes.
Okay, so this is Swat. I'm the Chief Operations Officer. this item actually went to the Finance Committee, and then we got some feedback from our the board members, from the committee members, and then we revised it a little bit to appreciate actually the performance of the employees with respect to the raise, or raises with respect to the performance of the employees. The little change that we made is now we are actually putting 4% increase to the developing employees, which is 2 out of 4 in the performance pay, which was not existing before. The previous one was 2 out of 4 and 3 out of 4 evaluations were getting 6% raise, and 4 out of 4 was getting 8%. Our board members suggested to differentiate between the 2 out of 4 and 3 out of 4 in the evaluations, and then we honored that. You will see actually that one. All the rest of the report is the same. For the impact analysis, for the sake of the report, we assumed 8% actually increases across the board. That's the maximum possible increase. As previously mentioned, and I'm mentioning again, the schools are still evaluating the employees. That's going to take another week or two. And then meanwhile, we assume that everybody actually will get 4 out of 4, just for the sake of the impact analysis. And the rest of it, actually, I'm moving to Mr. Budraja. Steve?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rajar, for that. So I can go ahead and I'd like to go ahead and go over some of the information that has been shared in the past in regards to financials, as well as some other pieces, including funding, additional funding, as well as fiscal stabilization plan. So if we can move to the next piece, please. So what you see here is these are budget projections, and they're based on various pieces of information. And so if you could please make that a little bit bigger, thank you. So the assumptions that were used in planning these, I want to carefully go over on MSA 1, and then I'll share the revenue and expenditure assumptions first, and then I'll kind of go site by site. And so what we wanted to do, we know that during the last couple of years now, the schools have been obviously challenged a great deal as a result of the pandemic. We know that not only has enrollment declined, but enrollment to ADA has gone down. Our sites used to be at about 96% enrollment to ADA. That is students actually showing up to school and being counted towards, being funded towards their participation inside the classroom and being in their seats. And so we know that that number has gone from 96 down to about 92% MPS wide. And so obviously that presents a challenge. And we look to our partnering local education agencies, including school districts, and we see that they've been able to utilize the hold harmless provision to really prevent what would be a huge fiscal cliff in terms of loss of funding. And we anticipate that we'll be able to take advantage of that provision of the hold harmless and be able to utilize funding from either three sources. Basically, it would be the higher of a three-year average, so from 1920, 2021, and 21-22. So we have two school sites that have actually grown in enrollment. That's MSA 1 and MSA 2. And for the remaining sites, MSA 3 through 8, as well as MSA Santa Ana and San Diego, those sites we would be utilizing the 1920 ADA, which was the higher of that three-year average. So what you're looking at here for MSA 1, this is 676. If you look on the top there, right where it says 2223 for next year, that's a 676. That's projected on current year data because this particular site has actually increased its ADA despite lots of obstacles. They've actually gone up. And as I mentioned before, so has MSA 2. So those are two sites that we've actually seen, some growth in, and the other ones obviously have had some challenges. And so we've had to utilize that hold harmless provision to be able to maximize potential funding. And so these projections also assume that we would be spending down our one-time funding. These would include the ESSER funds, the ELOP, the ELOG grant, and lots of different one-time sources that we've gotten and we continue to get. And are allowed the discretion to use over a multi-year purpose, whereas in the past there would be a one-year cycle and we would be basically required to spend that money down in a single year. We are allowed to utilize these monies over several years. And we even see that with things like an A to G college readiness grant, which has a five-year term. So we're starting to see these one-time funds being dispersed and being allowed to be used over a good period of time. So we want to assume that we'll be able to spend those funds down in year one and two. Those would be the federal revenues as well as the other state revenues. Now, on the other local revenue side, we did not include any one-time funding. We're basically assuming just modest funding in terms of fundraising by each site. And as we know, each site varies in their capacity and their ability to fundraise. Some sites are able to generate more dollars in fundraising and others are able to generate less. So we used a three-year average and we use that number. That's what you see, that $50,000 there. That's assuming a three-year average trend, and we're incorporating that into our projections. And so as a result of that, you've got 12.2 million projected in year one for MSA one, about 13 million in year two, and about slightly over, but 13.1, close to 13.2 million in year three. And on the expenditure side, we're looking at a base salary, and I want to be careful about this. I want to just make sure that I'm clear that we're assuming a base salary of 57,000 for MSAs one through eight, and a base salary of 53,000 for MSA Santa Ana, as well as MSA San Diego. That would be on the certificated side. Now, on the classified side, as Mr. Ajar mentioned, we had the 4, 6, and 8 scenario. We assumed an 8% on for all, not knowing which particular employee would get a 4% or a 6%. We just lumped in 8%, assuming that everybody does great and they get an 8%. On the employee benefit side, we know that there are potential increases to our SERS and PERS, which we've accounted for here, and we incorporated that.
Steve, sorry, your audio was kind of blocked by something.
Oh, is that better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. It's only, this is Alfredo. Steve, is only for the last 5 seconds. It's when you move away from like your microphone.
Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know. I'll kind of be still here. Okay, so as I was mentioning, the STIRS and PERS increases have been incorporated into these multi-year projections based on guidance that we've received from school services, from FICMAT, from County Office of Education, and so forth. On the book supplies and services side, we are obviously want to assume that it's going to be moderate spending, and those items are obviously going to be carefully evaluated to identify one-time versus ongoing spending on those books, supplies, and services. So as a result here, what you see is a projected surplus, not a significant amount, but approximately 665,000 in year one, about 1.1 million in year two, and about 921,000. So, you know, based on all of the factors that we are planning for currently, MSA one would be able to afford a $57,000 base as well as an 8% on classified increase for the upcoming and two multi-years. And so going on, if we can please move to MSA two. So here, similarly, higher growth in the current year than in 1920 or 2021. We're utilizing a 466 ADA value and anticipating 7.4 million in worth of revenues, offset by about 7.3 million worth of expenditures, allowing for a small surplus of about 124,000. 416 and a slightly less surplus in the third year out, and obviously being able to sustain sufficient reserves and being able to maintain those reserves in those each of those 3 years. And I'll go over some of the other schools. If we can go to MSA 3, please. So here, as I mentioned before, we know that the enrollment decline has taken place at some of the sites. And here, in this example, we have 468 ADA, which is utilizing the 1920 value and being able to take advantage of the hold harmless provision and assuming, you know, modestly flat in year two with some growth in year three, and also allowing for small surpluses of 170K, 70,000, and about 52,000 in those each of those 3 years, and allowing the school to be able to afford those increases to compensation. So if we could go to MSA 4, please. Now we know that this particular school has obviously had some challenges, and so being able to utilize the 1920 ADA of about 121, 122 would certainly be beneficial in this case, and allow the school to be able to have enough revenues to offset its expenditures with just a very slight surplus in each of those 3 years, and then also obviously allowing it to maintain sufficient reserves and ending fund balances in each of those 3 years. If we could go on to MSA 5. Now here you've got also utilizing that 1920 ADA of 266.75 and assuming similarly that we would have basically flat growth in year two and three, and then you know being able to have enough revenues to offset the expenditures, the allowing the school to have about a $750,000 surplus in year one, and then additional surpluses in years two and three, and also being able to maintain sufficient reserves in each of those 3 years, as you can see there. If we could go to the next one, MSA 6. Here, similarly to MSA 4, you know, there's been some challenges, obviously, with enrollment and with all of the things that have gone on during the last couple of years and just the challenges that that the sites faced, being able to utilize the 127 ADA, allowing the school to have, you know, project some surpluses in each of those years and maintain healthy reserves and still being able to provide compensation increases accordingly. So if we could go to MSA 7, please. Now here you've got ADA also being able to utilize the provision that, as I discussed, and that would be a close to 277 with some incremental growth in years two and three of 312 and 330. And then again, allowing the school to have enough revenues to sustain its expenditures and be able to project out some surpluses in each of those 3 years, as you can see, while also having sufficient ending fund balances of 68, 69, close to 70% in each of those 3 years. If we can go now to MSA 8. Again, here we are anticipating 461 ADA and assuming flat numbers in year two, and then some incremental growth in year three. And again, being able to allow for surpluses in each of the 3 years and maintain reserves. So now all of those that I discussed assumed the $57,000 base with an 8% on increase for classified salaries. Now in the next two with MSA Santa Ana and San Diego, we're assuming a $53,000 base. So if we can please go over to MSA Santa Ana, these projections assume a 53K base, but also an 8% on. And so for the classified, and so here you have projected ADA 526, and then some incremental growth in years two and three. And I know the sites are working hard to improve enrollment and being able to do different things to help help its programs. So here we're able to maintain some surpluses and also be able to utilize the higher base and compensate its staff accordingly while maintaining its reserves at the same time. So now finally, if we can go over to MSA San Diego. Here you've got 420 projected ADA, close to 421, and with some incremental growth in years two of 440 and 445, years two and three, I should say. And then being able to allow the school to project some surpluses in each of those years, not significant, but enough to be able to maintain a balanced budget, essentially, if you will, and then allowing it to also be able to maintain sufficient ending fund balances there. And so that's what I have on the number side. Now I'm going to get into some additional information as it relates to some funding we've received. And this was something that was shared during the finance committee, and I wanted to sort of bring this back that, you know, back during the pandemic, we know that there were some very challenging times for the school sites. And fortunately, we were able to apply for, receive these PPP loans. And this is a breakdown of what each school site got. As you can see, MSA 1 got about $789,000, $632,000 for MSA 2, 627 for 3, 229, 349, 193, and so forth. So each site was able to get the PPP loan as it was at the time. And what we didn't know at the time was obviously that you know, it was considered a loan. And so we had anticipated having to pay it back as you would any loan. But ultimately over time, these loans were forgiven. And we were able to demonstrate that, you know, this money was definitely in need. And we were able to help cushion some of the blow. And so that helped, obviously helped us. And so this is additional money that was recognized and ultimately forgiven. And it was also reflected in our audit report, which was presented back in January to show that, hey, none of this $5.46 million needs to be paid back. It's all money that we've been able to utilize during this challenging time. So I want to share that information. And finally, if we can go over to fiscal stabilization plans. Now we've worked with each of the school sites carefully to identify potential measures, if you will, on potential reductions should things not materialize. Fiscal stabilization plans where we've had the sites identify specific things that they would have to make changes to, modifications, potential reductions to personnel, books, supplies, services, et cetera, should the need arise and should they have to. And so each school site is fully aware that, you know, should some of the projections not materialize, they are going to be, need to be prepared to be able to make changes to their school sites. And so that's what I have for you. If you would like to add anything, Alfredo, to this piece.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening, Dr. Yapanal, Sandra, hopefully both of you are well. So nothing to add, just to say that I'm directly responsible for advocating on behalf of MPS on currently there is 9 assembly bills and state Senate bills focused on hold harmless protections or increasing the LCFF base grant. So right now things are looking really good in that space, but they will not become known until May 14th, that week of May 14th, hopefully May 13th, where we do believe all these assumptions will come to place because of the declining enrollment that's happening across the state. Which all of you are aware of, that's happening now over the last 2 years. We're talking about 270,000 students. And of those 270,000, about 12,000 students in charter schools. So the legislature and the governor for 2 to 3 years have been thinking with LEAs, including charter schools, how do we ensure that schools do have funding for this, you know, this very tough period as we go through the pandemic. So I'm working very hard, and I do feel that on May 13th or 14th, whatever day that falls, we're going to hear great news. And I do expect more federal funding to also come from the federal government. So it's good, but it's a short-term, you know, relief. And we strategically, through the stabilization plan that Steve and his team with the school site principals, I think this is super important to also understand that if something did go wrong, that we would be ready to utilize this. And then the other piece is creating systems. Dr. Lopez couldn't be with us today because she's helping MSA6 as we speak to parents about our transition next year to our new campus, Wilton Place. So she's working with them at this time in that meeting, but also very happy to share that we have some good systems. All the schools now have a PACE coordinator or a dean of culture at their sites, and it's a lot of good things happening when it comes to outreach, recruitment, and building systems to ensure that we follow through with what made us unique in the first place when we opened up MSA1. Which was that connection piece with families and community. So she'll share out more of how that is looking like this year compared to the previous years at the May 12th meeting. But we're very confident with some of these projections, and we're gonna fight really strongly to meet these projections and keep advocating at the federal and state government for these protections to be shared across districts and also charter schools.
Okay. Well, so that's what I have. And I guess I can go ahead and turn it back over to Jen.
Thank you both. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I have a question. So for the items that were requested by the finance committee, did we have questions with that information after received?
We received requests for information, and when we provided that request, there was information regarding what similar organizations provide in terms of compensation, and that range falls very much in line with what we're offering here. Somewhere between 55 and 57,000 is a base, so we were able to provide information on some individual CMOs that are in line within what we're proposing here, as well as we were asked to provide some information in regards to 2020-21, as well as the current year, base salary, add-ons, including work experience, adjustments, so forth, for things such as master's degree and for additional credentialing years of experience to provide the average teacher salary. And we were able to bring that forward in a memo to the board. So yes, we were able to provide that information, not receive any response for additional information.
So no questions or any comments regarding that committee with the items provided?
This is Alfredo. Great question, Sandra. So we expect to meet with the chair of the finance committee and also any other member of the finance committee to go over some of those requests separately. So that's what we plan to do in the next day before the actual board meeting. So I'm pretty sure there might be some questions. So we look forward to discussing those and also sharing out at the regular board meeting.
Okay, thank you. And then also the reason that you guys chose these CMOs were why?
Well, the CMOs, there's, as you know, Magnolia is part of the LA Coalition for Excellent Public Schools. And these schools, along with Magnolia, were very always very appreciative of all of our employees, from our custodial to support staff to administrators to just the whole community. So these three comparisons are three of the LACIPS members because they do share the same passion we do when it comes to ensuring that we offer the best compensation package. So it's not all 10 of them, just because, not all of them are current or as current as the ones we shared. But what it will allow us to do is not only be able to share with you, but be able to work with them to see what is that they do when it comes to overall compensation package. So there's also a follow-up and a collaboration piece that's also attached to this. And these three are some of the partners we'll be able to do. And then one of the partners is very closely aligned with Magnolia in terms of number of schools, number of students, number of employees. So we look forward to working with them as well. To see, to create again the best compensation packages possible.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions from our committee members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the Educational Partners and Development Committee to approve the MPS School Site Classified Employees Pay Raise Schedule for 2022 through 23 year, and for the committee to recommend to the MPS board to approve the same. With that, would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Sorry, was that you, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Thank you for seconding, Dr. Yapano. I'll take a roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of 2022 through 23 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic positions and school leaders. This will also be presented by Mr. Ajar, Chief Operations Officer, and Mr. Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Yeah. Good evening again, board members and community members. Steve actually mentioned most of the fiscal items over here, actually all of the fiscal items. We are changing several bases. You are also provided with the changes, actually the red line, so that you can see actually what exactly changed overall compared to the last year. We are going 57 actually to the LA schools and 53 for Santa Ana and San Diego schools. Also this year's major changes, we went deeply into the job descriptions of the annual add-ons and several one-time add-ons. We also enhanced them. And also in the non-classroom-based academic personnel, we added a athletic director position based on the school needs. Along with that, this is kind of tier three. The tier one and two are depending on the number of clubs. We actually enhanced the existing annual add-ons by two different athletic coaches for CIF related activities. Basically the human resources actually changes are this. Steve, you can take from here to go over the fiscal again, although you mentioned everything, but you can go over it again.
Yeah, and as Mr. Jarrett mentioned, all of the fiscal components that were discussed previously have been incorporated into what is being shared here. So all of that, those fiscal pieces that I described for certificated and classified staff were included in the informational in the items that the items that I discussed some moments ago. So nothing, there's nothing new in terms of the fiscal piece that has not already been presented.
All righty, with that, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If no questions or comments, the motion is for the Educational Partners Development Committee to approve the 2022 through 23 employee pay raise scale for full-time teaching positions and non-classroom-based academic positions and school leaders, and for the committee to recommend to the MPS board to approve the same. With that, would a committee member like to move the motion?
So moved. The panel.
Thank you. Dr. Alcala, is there a second?
I'll second it. Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Alcala.
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Jennifer, before we conclude, this is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO and Superintendent. I just want to thank all the school sites, home office personnel for working very hard on these different proposals and to our board, obviously, for meeting with us several times over the course of this analysis to help us, obviously, to, show appreciation and also, to acknowledge the hard work that we expect everyone to do. But we also back it up with always taking care of our employees because we are a very strong team and family. So I just want to thank everyone for all of their hard work in getting this across the board. We still obviously have our board meeting tomorrow where there will still be more discussion, but I just want to thank everyone for their efforts.
Thank you for that. So at this time, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please adjourn, the time is 5:38 p.m.
Yes, I would like to piggyback on what Alfredo's comment was. Thank you, everybody, for all the work. Thank you. And I would like to adjourn the meeting now.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.